The epistle for Quinquagesima Sunday is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Brethren, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And if I should have prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I should have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And if I should distribute all my goods to feed the poor, and if I should deliver my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity is patient, is kind, charity envieth not, dealeth not perversely, is not puffed up, is not ambitious, seeketh not her own, is not provoked to anger, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth with truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never falleth away. Whether prophecy shall be made void, or tongues shall cease, or knowledge shall be destroyed. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away the things of a child. We see now through a glass in a dark manner, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. And now there remain faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 18th chapter. At that time Jesus took unto him the 12, and said to them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things shall be accomplished, which were written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man. For he shall be delivered to the Gentiles, and he shall be mocked, and scourged, and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these words, and the word was hid from them, and they understood not the things that were said. Now it came to pass, when he drew nigh to Jericho, that a certain blind man sat at the wayside begging. And when he heard the multitude passing by, he asked what this meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they that went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried out the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus standing commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I should do to thee? But he said, Lord, that I may see. And Jesus said to him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he saw and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Thus far are the words of today's Holy Gospel. He shall be mocked and scourged and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will put him to death. These are words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I came across a story this week that reminded me of the comics that I used to read as a kid from the Highlights for Children called Goofus and Gallant. And it was about two of these brothers who were given some money by their parents to go to the movies on a Saturday afternoon. And the one brother, whose name was Charlie, was the older brother, and his brother Jerry was, of course, the younger brother. And they were looking forward to going to the movie all week. It was a Western, and they loved everything to do with cowboys and guns, and they were really looking forward to the movie. So on Saturday, they finished their chores, and they went off to the movie theater. And when they came back, their dad noticed that Charlie was really quiet and somber. That's the older brother. And Jerry was just as happy as when he had left the house. So the dad asked Charlie, how did you like the movie? And he said, well, I didn't like it very much at all. And the dad said, well, what happened? Didn't it have your favorite cowboy in it? And Charlie said, yeah, but the problem wasn't with the movie. You see, when we were on our way to the show, we met a boy in the park who was so hungry he was crying. And I kept going to the movie, but I couldn't get out of my mind the whole time that boy in the park. And even though the movie was probably really good, I just couldn't get that kid out of my mind. Well, the father then was a little perplexed because he was thinking, if Charlie had seen the kid, then Jerry must have seen him too. And he wasn't too happy with the idea that Jerry would have just paid no attention to the kid and gone to the movie and enjoyed himself. So the dad asked him, separately, how did you like the movie? And Jerry said, oh, I heard it was really good. I heard it was great. And the dad said, well, what was it about? And then Jerry told him, well, I don't know. You see, there was this poor kid in the park, and he was so hungry, he was crying. So I thought you wouldn't mind if I took the money for the movie and went and bought him some food. Then he and I hung out in the park while Charlie was busy at the movie theater. And Dad, we really had a great time, and I enjoyed playing with that kid in the park more than I would have gone to the movie. And so you can see that Jerry was more happy in doing something for another than Charlie was in his selfishness of looking for his own enjoyment, looking for something that he was looking forward to without providing for that little kid in the park. And as we quickly approach Ash Wednesday, this is that very special time of the year. It's, of course, a holy time of the year. It's a penitential time of the year. But it's very necessary for us because it's the 40 days or more that we really set aside as Catholics to concentrate on just what we can do for our Lord, to make a return of love to Him. That's why the Church puts this epistle of St. Paul, where he explains just what charity is. Where he explains that charity is not just being nice to one another or just smiling at somebody, but what charity truly is when we love God above all things and we love our neighbor for His sake. When we do good to our neighbors and when we practice virtue for the love of God, that is the charity that St. Paul is talking about. And that's the charity that we have to really try to practice over the next 40 days. St. Paul mentions things like prophecies, miracles, people who had the great amount of the virtues of faith and hope. And it's true, if we saw somebody who was giving prophecies and they were coming true prophecies, or if we saw somebody who was performing real miracles right before our eyes, it would really be something. We would really think that that person was especially blessed by God to be able to do those things. But St. Paul warns us that it's actually better to have charity for God, to have God hold that first place in our hearts, is actually more important than prophecies, miracles, great gifts of faith and hope. And the reason for that is when we get to heaven, we won't need faith anymore. We'll see God face to face, and so we will no longer have to say, I believe in God. We'll say, I know God. When we get to heaven, we won't need hope anymore. Hope is what keeps us going here on earth, that God is going to give us the graces we need. But once we're there, that virtue will go away. And of course, miracles and prophecies, all those things will go away. But the one thing that will remain in heaven is our love for God above all things. And so, over the next 40 days, we have to put that love for God into practice, into high gear, so to speak. And the gospel that we read for today's Mass helps us to know just where to focus that charity. In the beginning of the gospel, our Lord called the 12 apostles aside. You know, our Lord, as you know, had the 72 disciples. He had followers that were constantly around him. But this day, he had a very special message that was just for the 12 alone. And that message was the prophecy of his crucifixion and his passion. The gospel account tells us that he called the 12 aside. He didn't even want the other disciples to be involved in this message. And he told them very clearly he'd be mocked, spit upon, scourged. And after the scourging, which they knew what that meant, because that was a penalty at the time, that he would be put to death. But sadly for the apostles, that special message, those words of our Lord, had seemingly no practical effect on their lives. It's almost as if they just put it out of their mind entirely. Our Lord had given them a special knowledge so that they would know what was about to happen. And really, when it comes down to it, they did nothing with it. When the events of Holy Thursday night and Good Friday started to take place, they were completely caught off guard. They were there in the garden. They had just been made the first bishops of the church. They had just attended the first Mass ever. And now, all of a sudden, they couldn't figure out how there could be a traitor in their midst. Why was Peter all of a sudden wielding a sword like a madman, hacking off an ear of one of the temple guards? Why were over 1,000 soldiers now in that garden that they had gone to many times before and spent the night there while the Lord spent the night in prayer? All of these things were a mystery to them because they didn't take our Lord's words seriously when he first told them what would happen. Well, learning from their mistake, so to speak, let those words of our Lord sink in for us. Let it be for the next 40 days or so something that we consider over and over again, that the Lord was mocked, scourged, spit upon, and put to death for our sake and to make up for our sins. And if we do that, if we have a good Lent, and we try in true charity to offer things up and to practice as much virtue as we can for our Lord's sake, then we will not be caught off guard like the apostles were during the Passion and also even on Easter Sunday night. When our Lord came back to them, they were once again in a state of shock. Our Lord had to tell them, "Peace be to you," two different times. He had to ask them for some food, and you can imagine what that situation would have been like. They were just dumbstruck, staring at him, trying to figure out in their own minds, how could this be, when they had seen him on Friday night or Friday afternoon pass away on the cross. But our Lord told them, so to speak, to just calm down, to think about what he had told them over the last 3 years, and to be at peace. For us then, if we make good Lents, if we live our lives loving God above all things and practicing virtue for his sake, when we see him face to face at our particular judgment, we won't be caught off guard. We won't be dumbfounded or left without an answer, like the apostles were. But we will be able to say that we spent our lives knowing, loving, and serving him to the best that we could. We'll be able to let him know, "Lord, I made this or that sacrifice. I made this or that penance for you. Thank you for dying for me, for going through all that you did. This is what I was able to do. These are my small efforts to make a return of that love to you." And how much more consoling will that be for us on that day? We'll be more like Jerry, the younger brother, in this morning's story, where we'll do the hard thing now. We will suffer some abnegation now, especially in the holy season of Lent. But in the end, it will be far more worth it. In the end, it will pay off when we can hold our heads high, so to speak, and let our Lord know that throughout our lives, he had the first place in our souls. And we will not be like the apostles or like the older brother who went about doing their own thing. And then when the day of reckoning came, or for the brother at the movie theater, when the good time started, he was miserable because he had not practiced any abnegation first. So then I encourage you to spend the next couple days here before Ash Wednesday starts thinking of things that you can offer up to our Lord, things that you can do specifically. We'll all be involved in the fasting and the abstinence. will all be involved in the different rites of the church, the purple vestments, the lack of the gloria, things like that. But there has to be things in our own lives that we give up for our Lord to show him that he has the first place. And as we think of what we can offer up, remember that there's a good way to go about Lent and an improper way. An improper way would be if a person thought to themselves, well, I need to lose 10 or 15 pounds, so I'm going to be really dutiful about making sure I follow the fast this year. Well, that wouldn't be good, because then they're following the fast to lose weight, not to show their love for God. Or if another person says, you know, the news, the media, it has me very concerned, I'm just going to turn off the TV for all of Lent. Well, again, they would be offering that up because of the good it gives to them, the peace that would come into their lives. When we think about what am I going to give up for Lent, it has to be a good idea to think of something like, what do I like? What gives me some joy? For instance, a person might say, I really like dessert, so I'm going to give that up. Or I have a cigar on Sunday nights, or I have a glass of wine after dinner. Something that would really be a sacrifice. And then if a person says, but I'm going to give that up strictly for the love of God, that's the idea we want to have during Lent. And if we have that idea of giving up something that we personally like or personally want in our lives for the next 40 days, then we'll be practicing the charity that St. Paul talked about. We will be learning from the lesson of the apostles to let our Lord's words have an effect on our lives. And we will be making a very good Lent, which will make up for the sins of our past life and will give us the graces we need to persevere in the future. Look then to your eternal reward in heaven. Give our Lord as much as you can this Lent out of the generosity of your heart, and thank him throughout these next 40 days or so for all that he did for you by suffering and dying on the cross for you that first Good Friday. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.